are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom. I'm here with Lotus of Doom, and we are covering yet another episode where we are taking on a bunch of Daedric creatures and trying to explain them to you as best we possibly can. And this week, Lotus, we have a bunch of bugs and spiders and stuff.
A bunch is probably a good way of putting this, because we've been doing like four at a time, but these aren't super descriptive, and there's a ton of them.
Yeah. So, yes, we're just getting into it. Like, we have all of these. How do you say it again?
It's a skein. It's like a skein, of yarn, apparently.
Right. Yeah. So, like, skein beetles and scorpions and spiders, S-K-E-I-N. So, it's not skein, it's skein. And it's that word specifically because a skein is a length of thread or yarn, or like spider silk. And this is very related to spiders and bugs and Mephala and giant spiders and the webs and that they weave metaphorically and physically, all of this
really stuff. On the nose metaphor once you find out the reason to it.
Right. So yeah, we're getting into a bunch of bugs. And as we normally do, we go through this and we've been going alphabetically through, and it just so happens that all of these skein beetles and scorpions and things are all under S for skein beetles. Yeah, I always want to say skein.
Yeah, I know. For the longest time I did until someone corrected me and I was like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah. And then we've got Skitaris and Spider Daedra and the Spider Kith all in this episode. So let's kick it off. As usual, we pull a lot of information from the UESP in order to give us kind of an overview, but then we're going to delve a little bit deeper with some other details and things. But to kick this off, let's talk about this skein beetle, which are also known as skein shalks, S-H-A-L-K-S. Go ahead.
Big beetles. It's Elder Scrolls big beetle speak.
Yeah, with like bigger legs than most beetles have.
Yeah.
And they are Daedric imitations of Nurn's beetles. They're associated with Mephala, and they're said to use their pointed proboscis to drain a victim of their blood. So they're blood-sucking beetles. They're like mosquito beetles.
Yeah, they've got that little front horn thing, kind of like a rhinoceros, and they just jam it into you and apparently drain your blood.
Yeah, and if you look, I've got a picture up on the screen. So just a reminder, if you want to check us out on YouTube, we're there. You can look up the video there. You can also join us live in on Twitch. Hi, chat. Welcome to the show. I've got the picture up on the screen right now, and you can see if you look at this little guy's face, this big little guy's face. He's got some big old pointy mandibles in there as well.
That thing is horrific.
Yeah, if you saw one of these crawling on your back porch, you would probably call, I don't know, pest control. What would pest control do?
No, you could call the fire department because you burnt your house down at that point.
You just burned the house down. Just move. Move. It's done.
Yep.
You're done.
Salt the earth.
You're done. But these are the size of like small dogs or bigger.
Yeah, I feel like this is bigger than Boots would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like the beetle would have some size on my dog.
Yeah. Outlander Frog in chat says, I'm picking up the broom. I don't think the broom's going to do much against this guy. He's got armor for days.
Like, yeah, you could shoot this thing. Looks like it's about the size of a broom.
Oh my God. You could shoot this thing with a 45 and hopefully maybe it would go through the carapace.
Wound it.
Yeah. Maybe. Potentially, I mean, the impact from the bullet would do more than the actual puncture of the bullet, right? Like, maybe you'd break a leg.
This thing is awful.
Yeah.
And big, giant mega beetles are, like, a thing in the series anyways. And as we had in a couple other episodes, this is going to be one of those ones where it's a little bit like, here are the Daedric interpretations of a thing that already exists in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And these creatures already are pretty horrific. Like, that are just floating around, whether you have the assassin beetles or the magma shalks or whatever. And now you have one that's like demonically charged, because why not?
Right. Yeah. Like if you turn one of these into a demon and then like increased its size by like 100 times. Like, this is what you get. So let's move on to the next one. There's the Skein scorpion. So if beetles are usually not very terrifying. They're pretty docile little bugs. They don't, you don't really worry about beetles like getting on you. You know, they're not,
it's not going to traumatize you. It's probably not going to immediately try to poison you to death.
Right. So let's turn this up a notch and talk about the scorpions, which also are giant. They're also associated with Mephala, and they are preferred companions of the Death Weavers, the Knights of the Spider Cult. So they keep these little guys around like, I don't know, like little pets, big pets. I mean, we're talking here, putting up on the screen.
Little classifies for these things anymore because they look uncomfortably large.
Yeah, that's okay. That is the size of a what would you say this is the size of?
So size wise, at least comparable when you find them like in game. They're almost like the size of you. So they're probably like if you go from front claw area to, I don't know, tip of the tail, like if you, the thing's got to be out about 7 feet long.
Yeah, right. So the tail goes up and the top of the tail, just like a scorpion, is about the height of a person.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, that thing's got to be like 7 feet long because you're going to lose some as it curves up. Uh-huh. And if it's as tall as you, basically, it's like you lay that flat and it's probably got like another foot where, that thing's horrifying.
Right. And they're wide. They've got the legs that come out. They've got the big old pinchers. These things probably are at least 300 pounds, if not more.
And again, because the theme of this, don't forget, they're also Daedric creatures. So they're horrible, like nightmare versions of already horrible nightmare versions.
Right. So you have the big gigantic pinchers. You've got all the eyes. But then, of course, you have all these like spiky little parts that stick out, you know, even on the legs, along the back. The stinger on the back has a middle prong, but then two side prongs that are even longer than the middle prong. Not pleasant.
Like, that thing. Yeah, the tail almost looks like it would, like, other than just go for a stinging motion, the side prongs look like they would like grab you to pin you in place for the stabbing.
Oh, absolutely.
Really just magnified horror.
Yeah, those things could wrap around your throat while the middle thing stabs all the way through your neck. Like, that's how big these are.
It's like when you pop the top off a dandelion or something.
Okay.
Except that's the end of your adventure.
Right.
You took a Skein scorpion to the face.
Oh. Yeah, no, it could stab right through your head with that. Oh, all right. So let's move on. Let's ramp it up a little bit more. Scorpions, pretty creepy. I know spiders. A lot of people don't like spiders. And when they're nice and big and nasty and Daedric, that makes them even worse because now we have Skein spiders, again, associated with Mephala, surprise. They're often summoned by the Spider-Kith minions, which we'll talk about later. And they are the most common denizens of the spiral Skein and can be fiercely loyal pets. So these are like the good little, you know, doggy friends. Like you and I have dogs. How'd you like to have one of these hanging out, you know, taking care of, taking for walks? What?
I feel like I also love in this picture of one on the UESP, there is a corpse next to it.
Yes, there's a dead person's legs next to this thing. And it definitely puts the spider in perspective because the spider is the size of a person, is bigger than the person laying on the ground. Absolutely. Glowing eyes. Of course, you know, think about there are different kinds of spiders. In Florida, we have these wolf spiders, which get really big, like the size of your hand.
Those things are big, right? Not a fan of those.
Yeah. And they've got like really jagged legs. They're pretty docile. They'll hang in trees. And I worked at a camp one summer and these things would create their webs at night. The webs would be 3, 4, 5 feet across up in trees. And you'd see these guys just like hanging out during the day. They never attacked anybody. I don't think they're poisonous, but just the angular legs and the size of them.
Yeah.
Now take something like that with really angular legs, but a more bulbous round body.
Yeah. Like Black Widows. This is just triggering everybody with arachnophobia, right?
Yes. Yeah. Warning.
But yeah, the body's like super, super round. These dudes, they'd make a pop if you, I guess you'd have to be a giant to step on one of these things because it's absolutely enormous for a spider. But
Yeah, if a giant steps, I bet they squish real good when a giant steps on them.
Yeah,
I mean, there's got like that big old body. There's got to be a ton of goo that just goes, just squishes.
Like throwing a watermelon down the stairs.
Oh my god! Yeah, like a giant watermelon. Yeah. All right. So we've got one more. Awful. If just creatures, yeah, we have one more skein creature. If these things are not scary enough, the ones that we've talked about are all ground bound. They don't fly. But what if you took something horrifying like this and you gave it wings? Well, you might end up with a skein wasp, which is very similar to the rest. It's gigantic. These are associated with Mephala. And oh dear Lord, the wingspan on these things are like a human's arms reach out, right? But then
the wasps can get enormous in this game as well, like all forms of wasp. And again, just with the theme of all the skein things, okay, cool, this one's demonic evil because it's a Daedra version. And this is like, this would be kind of like my corgi with wings, like, because it's just like, it's literally like you're thinking of an insect being small, and it's like, no, this is probably like a 30-pound, like, bug.
30 pounds of bug
at you.
Flying.
30 pounds of bug flying at you.
The horn on the front is, that's got to be the length of like a really long knife, at least.
Yeah.
And then the back, the little stinger on the back is like this giant barb on the, you know, and then all the legs and the big long legs hanging down, also, you know, kind of demonic looking. So
it's yet another nightmare creature.
All right, so those are all the skeins. There's not a ton of extra info. We don't really know how they were made, along with these other Daedra creatures. They're just similar to the ones in Nirn, but like, I guess the Daedra were like, hey, we want one too, so let's make a big scary one.
All of the skein creatures we just went over, the four of those are only seen to date in the Elder Scrolls Online. They're kind of produced as like, we need a generic type of evil enemy thing to fight. And when you're in any place that is corrupted, or you're in a area of oblivion, especially when you're dealing with like Mephala and stuff like that, this is your version of that. Like, they needed to evil up some of the stuff that you would find in like Rotwood or something, where it's like, okay, yeah, giant horrible bees and spiders and all this stuff, but like, They essentially made just Daedra versions of that to kind of vary the palette of enemies you're fighting, type of thing.
Yep.
But at the moment, you only see these in the Elder Scrolls Online specifically.
Right. So we have another one. Remember the Inferniums we talked about?
Yes.
Well, there's a little centipede-like guys that are very similar to these called Skitaris. Here, I'm putting these up on the screen. This guy up on the screen, too. And yeah, imagine a centipede with a bunch of little horns in the front and a big old round chompy mouth, kind of like, what are those fish? The little sucker fish that have the little mouths that are round with all the teeth on them. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking. Why can't I? I do know what you're talking about. These things are. This creature is smaller than all of the bugs we literally just described.
But it's still not small by any means, right? A lamprey. Blinding.
Yes, lamprey. Thank you, blinding vision. Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah.
It's kind of like that. They're native to the Deadlands and Apocrypha. You run.
Yeah, it looks like about the size of a snake, like a garden snake or something.
Yeah, a really small dog.
Yeah, a small dog. Yeah.
I mean, it would be a really big round snake because they're kind of thicker than like a snake is.
Really likes to eat.
Really fat snake. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's these guys too, and they kind of fit in that same kind of group of like bug-like Daedra. And, you can see them in different places. But again, we don't have a ton of information about these either. So they're just on that list of like.
Again, these are included, and that's totally fine. But it's like, it's one of these things where like, they're really not common. They're kind of actually just like, for the most part, you will see them kind of just skittering about in areas. They don't even attack you, if I'm not mistaken.
They may not be.
I think these are neutral enemies. They're only in Elder Scrolls Online, but I believe these are actually a neutral enemy, like a, if you see like a rat or something like that, and if you accidentally blast it, it will die and you can get like fishing bait off it, but it won't do anything otherwise. It's just part of the environment you can interact with. Like, it's a creature floating around and you can mess it up, but it ain't gonna get you.
right. So those aren't so terrible. Tell you what, before we go to the mid break, because that first group was pretty fast, we don't know a ton about them. Let's talk about Spider Daedra, which you might think, oh, didn't we just talk like Skein Spider? Isn't that similar?
How many spiders do we need?
No, that's not enough, because we have actual humanoid spider creatures, the Spider Daedra, which are kind of like, you know, those like horse people from Greek mythology, centaurs, where you have like human body, animal, lower half. It's kind of like that, but spiders. Yep. And here's what the UESP says. Spider Daedra, also called Perthan, are semi-intelligent Daedra who appear as giant spiders with armored carapaces and humanoid torsos. They're associated with Mephala, of course, though they can be seen serving other princes, such as Molag Bal. Other Daedra, such as Ariels, may summon them to fight. Spider Daedra are capable of speech, and some are willing to engage in relatively peaceful conversations with mortals. So they're intelligent enough to have conversations, and they don't just look semi-human. They actually interact in ways that appear kind of humanish, or, you know, personish.
Right. And this, unlike the kind of last ones that were pretty easy to go over and everything like that, not that a Spider Daedra is incredibly complicated to go over, but it's... this is not specific to Elder Scrolls Online. Spider Daedra actually have been kind of a thing in the series for a while now.
Mm-hmm. And they're similar to, I didn't look this up, but what the name of the creature is in Dungeons and Dragons. Spider person D&D. Looking it up real fast. Arachne.
Okay.
The Arachne, that's what they're called. This is a concept. This is a design that goes all the way back to Dungeons and Dragons and may go further back than that. I'm not 100% sure, but it's not the most unique thing in the world to have a centaur like spider.
Here's
creature.
A creature thing attached to a humanoid thing and then just smush them together.
Right. Or driders. Yeah. Rob the Princess driders. Yeah. There you go. I just did a quick search on that. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah. That sounds right. Cause I understand D&D. So nodding politely.
There you go.
What do you call it? So one of the things that, like you said, they have the ability, you can talk to them, like not necessarily always. They're a little blood crazed in many of the games, and they're just kind of like there to kill you in like the Elder Scrolls 4 and a lot of the time in ESO. But one of the things, because again, I always love a good chance to talk about some of the weird games in the series. They're pretty prevalent at toward the beginning of the game. In the Elder Scrolls Legends Battlespire, there's just male versions of them, which normally you see them more female in the games.
In more recent games, yeah, they seem to be
more
like
recent games,
female.
They tend to be like female presenting. Whereas in Battlespire, they're actually like kind of nasally dudes. They're their voice is weird, which is a theme you might...
those old games, everybody's voice is
weird. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a theme you kind of probably have picked up from me anytime I talk about the old games. But they are, just like everything else in Battlespire, super horny, and most of them will literally just hit on you when you talk to them.
Which is super weird, because that's way interspecies at that point, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't even know. That's too many species being interspecies.
That's pretty weird.
But, yeah, but all around, yeah, they are super cringe when you talk to them in the Elder Scrolls Battlespire. The only thing that's weird is... like they're really jarring difficult, like they're your first kind of jarring difficulty spike enemy that I found in Battlespire, and then they kind of just get outclassed or whatever. But they've been around for a while, and it's funny because they definitely were more talkative before than it seems like they are now. Yeah, so that you can have some interaction with them, but stuff.
There's some dungeons where they show up and stuff like that. Yeah,
but yeah, definitely the male ones from Battlespire, a little cringe.
Yeah, so Battlespire, Oblivion, and then mostly ESO after that. A lot of these creatures, like we've talked about before, they kind of originated in Battlespire, and then they show up in the other games later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here, there's a section about their behavior on the UESP. It says, they are so fierce, unruly, and irrational that not even Mephala's worshippers can trust them, and they may not heed the spinner's commands. They've definitely got minds of their own. Due to their disobedience and willful reputation, many sorcerers in Morrowind are unwilling to summon them. They are unstable, oversexed, overstimulated, excitable, high-strung, and keeping them focused on topic is in conversation is a difficult task. Mortals view them as hateful, loathsome, and lacking compassion, though befriending and jovial in conversation, and when lost in their realms of oblivion, find no other option but to come to them for help, with their aid suspected to be part of a larger deception on behalf of their princess. They are some of the more powerful Daedra, with formidable melee and spellcasting abilities. They can spin webs, spit poison, and cast powerful storm spells. They can summon smaller spider Daedra, notice spiderlings, to aid them in battle. In my mind, they're just pooping out babies.
Yes, like, they are literally crapping out little baby spiders.
Right, little baby spiders.
Yep.
They weave cocoons to ensnare mortals, which are so resilient that they can only be broken from the outside. They are known to keep mortals as ornaments in their collections and scorseled. Enscorseled. That's an interesting word.
Yeah, enscorseled. Interesting word choice by whoever typed that.
Yeah, into being thralls for their comfort and entertainment, as well as to provide sustenance to their spider children. So maybe those spiderlings are actually their babies and they're just feeding people to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Or throwing them at people like weapons.
Sure, that too, right? Babies, go eat. Go.
Yeah.
Eat them. Feed.
Spiders.
Feed my children.
Yeah, so I didn't even realize it was going to get into that as we went further. But yeah, I was going to say, so there you go. That goes along with what I was saying. It's interesting they've kind of kept the same vibe going through all of the games, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're an interesting creature in the series. They also... When you're looking at the UESP or anywhere, but like since that's just kind of like our go-to, and the degree of whether they're more humanoid or more creature is varied quite a bit too, which I find interesting.
Yeah, like this one on the screen right now has a very much a weird Daedric spider face.
Yeah. Hair.
But then there's others that look very humanoid. I mean, they're right. Clearly still spider, but they're parts that look, you know, their faces. If you just saw their face, you wouldn't know for sure what race they were.
Yeah, it's a little all over the place with how human or how spidery they actually are. And I'm curious, it doesn't, like, there's no real clarification on anything like that that I can see, at least not that I remember from reading it. I'm kind of browsing over it again. I'm curious if it's just an aesthetic thing, or does that lean into something? Like, is there a reason why, like, they are more or less arachnid or human?
Yeah, like, sometimes there's, like, sub-variants of groups, or there are
clans. Right, and I'm just curious, like, I mean, they might not have thought of this. It could, like I said, just be aesthetic, but it's kind of interesting. It's like, oh, well, you know, are they more articulate if they're more humanoid, but are they stronger, like, magically if they're more bestial or something like that?
Or more ferocious, less likely to talk, you know?
Like, less likely to talk. Yeah. Like, so it's just kind of interesting because there is a pretty wide swath of, like, amongst their variety. They're all the same creature, but they look pretty different, which not even necessarily just from game to game, because you always get some variations in the art based on technology of the games and the games themselves and stuff like that. Even within ESO specifically, which is the most recent and longest running one in the series, they're different even in that, just that game. Like,
yeah,
there's so many variations. So, right.
Well, it's a fun thing, I'm sure, from an artistic perspective as an artist.
Yeah, you get a lot more to work with.
There's a lot of fun stuff you can do with these kinds of creatures in the design phase. So, yeah, I would imagine, you know, like, oh, do they have to have human faces? Well, what if they don't? What if they have human bodies, but, like, more spidery face? Oh, that sounds really cool, too.
This one's bigger.
Yeah, this one's bigger. This one's got really big butt. This one's got really pointy legs, and this one has a really cool color pattern, you know, all that, you know, special armor in certain spots, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, there's a lot of variety. Oh, so here's fun note, Lotus. Did you know that they were initially intended to have hands in Battlespire, but Mark Jones gave them claws instead for a praying mantis-like look? They were later given hands in subsequent games. So if you check this out, if you look at the image on the UASP of the male spider Daedra from directly from the game, notice that it's got like no hands. It has arms, but then they go directly into spider-like, I don't know, claws, pointy. Yeah,
they also have less legs.
They have less legs. Yeah, there's only six legs.
There's four legs plus the two arms.
Yeah. Yeah. But then if you look at later ones, like the one from Oblivion definitely has human hands. And then the other ones, in fact, pretty much all the other ones in ESO, I believe, have actual human-like
weird hands. I actually never noticed
this one. Almost has like Wolverine claws. They're very pointy fingers.
Sure, but they're still that one definitely. But they're still like hands as opposed to literal like
front spider limbs,
front spider legs.
Yeah. So okay, weird. So that's fun. Also,
that is a really interesting little tidbit. I never noticed that, actually. Who do you think does the Battlespire guys, the Battlespire Spider Daedra's hair, though? Because I mean, he's got that 80s like blowout thing going.
Well, that's true. Like somebody
he
has
can't
to
do it with those.
Like somebody has to do a haircut, right? Like he's got.
That's... Well, I guess maybe they're sharp, so maybe he just snips it and then combs it with his front pincers.
Oof, I don't know how that works, but they've got to have a hairdresser. I don't know. Maybe we should go visit the realms of Oblivion to see if we can find anybody doing hair.
Maybe
for
we should
Daedra.
Leave that in the Battlespire.
All right, there you go. All right. Well, that's Spider Daedra. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna go thank our patrons, but don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
Rob says they just wake up like that. They just wake up and their hair is just glorious.
Just perfect.
It's like the 1980s, 1990s Maine. Of like from a action
well movie. Actually, how long do spiders usually live?
I don't think they live very long. I mean, they're insects,
so maybe he only has to wake up and look like that like for a week and then he's dead.
That's it. You don't have to get multiple haircuts, you just have to get the one perfect haircut. All right, so here we are. Thank you to our patrons. You guys are the ones who keep the show going and support us. If we've done anything to help you get through your workday, your commute, or whatever, if you want to check out the Patreon at patreon.com/ElderScrollsLorecast and see all the different things you can get, that would be amazing. Also, we have to shout out our newest patrons, Jacob P, Tib999, Ruluko, Willie B 529, Blinding Vision, and Dora P. Welcome to the Patreon. Bunch of new people. I hope you were enjoying.
Blinding Vision's chilling with us in chat.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining here during the chat. I hope you're enjoying the ad-free episodes, or if you signed up and you can get stickers every 3 months or t-shirts every 3 months or join us on the Patreon chats. I hope you're enjoying all of that stuff. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric princes, which include Blinding Vision. Thank you, Blinding Vision. You get shout outs every week. And Kira C and Sheogorth Sweetroll, currently our Daedric Prince tier patrons. Thank you so much for all of that. Also, if you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and we'll read out your words on a future episode of the show. That's a wonderful way to help. Plus, you can rate the show on Spotify or whatever other service you listen to this on, or check out our YouTube channel and subscribe to us over there. Lots of different ways that you can help us out. And again, we can't do this without you. So thank you so much. All right, let's move on because we've got one more creepy spider-like creature to talk about. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so Lotus, we went through the ones that were all bug. Now we went through one that was like half bug, half person. What if we just have humanoids, but they still have spider in the name? Like spider kith.
And they're just... It's like you took their skin and we're just like, you know what? Here's just some spider like wallpaper on your face. And that
spider wallpaper on your face.
Spider now kith. You're a spider kith.
Oh, they're they're very zombie-like.
They're weird.
They're very weird.
Yeah, these things are strange.
Yeah. Okay, so here, let's read the description in the UESP, get people started, because if you don't remember what these look like, this will help you out. Spider-Kith are intelligent humanoid Daedra that serve, guess who? Mephala. They have webbed skin that appears almost desiccated, which is like almost like it's falling apart, I believe is what that means.
Yeah, I think desiccation is like just like literally decomposing or right. Just like...
That's the zombie-like.
Really crappy. Yeah. Like, literally crappy.
Really crappy skin. Their veins glow dull red beneath their skin. Their skin can change, or can range in color, not change, range in color from navy to red. Red-skinned spider-kith have glowing red eyes, while darker spider-kith have dull, empty gray eyes. Few known spider-kith have skin that is black, like charcoal. Some spider-kith have hair white or gray in color, but many do not. Some of them just don't have hair at all. So just like mortals, some have hair, some don't. They are capable of speech and wield weapons and magic in combat as many other humanoid Daedra do. The Spider-Kith can be seen commanding Daedra of lesser intelligence in the Spiral Skein. They can weave webs and are known to raise spiders, of course. They keep spiders as like pets, like you and I do for dogs or cats.
Just like the Mephala offshoot episode.
Yeah, very much. They treat their arachnids as a mortal might treat pets, livestock, or children, and oft refer to their spider charges as their brood. You know what? This is so close because, like, my wife's like, our little dogs are babies, right? Oh, the babies, yeah. Like, your little babies. And it's like, if you think about that hard enough, that's super weird that, like, humans would have dogs as babies. Like, that's like, same kind of thing here, right? Like, humanoid-looking Daedra, spiders, they probably call them their babies.
Yeah, they're just super attached to their little spiders.
Yeah. They are known to feed on mortal flesh. Apart from raising spiders, capable Spider-Kith mages can also summon them from the Spiral Skein. All Spider-Kith can project poison at their prey with a technique known as the Spider-Kith Kiss. They give you a kiss of poison. Almost Valentine's Day.
Oh, see, that's why we actually picked this.
That's the real reason right there.
Yeah.
The Spider-Kith are cruel and observant. Unfortunate mortals may find themselves suffering a slow, painful death within a Spider-Kith's web. Their sense of smell and touch is often more than enough to sense a mortal's presence. They can rely upon keen senses to detect the slightest movement, the smell of sweat and blood, or the feel of someone's body heat to know that prey is nearby. Oh, man.
Hey, so those things are pretty advanced hunters.
These are like, here, let's take a look at some of them. You've got this one in the picture, and I know for those of you who don't have the visual version, we'll describe some of it. They have, they're very zombie-like. You look at their skin, and it looks like the skin is just kind of barely staying on. But then
They're equipped. It's sort of like the Draugr skin that you see. It's like, it almost looks like it's just so like deflated down.
You can kind of see the bones underneath it. Right. Like it's all like really like kind of barely hanging on to
it's like dehydrated.
Dehydrated. But their equipment is very mortal-like or like some of these other intelligent Daedra. Like they have armor and clothing. They wear, you know, gowns or pants or shirts. They have weapons, axes and swords and staves, maybe. Is that the way I say that? bows. I guess, yeah. They can use bows. Like they're very equipped. They just look like the stuff of nightmares. So
ironically, these are only in Elder Scrolls Online currently as well. This is when they were introduced. But what's kind of interesting is a lot of the Daedric princes, as we've gone over, kind of have their cadre of minions. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know, these ones happen to more often than not attribute to this. You know, we had the Scoffin last episode, which related to Clavicus Vile, and you have like the Seekers and Lurchers that are like, oh yeah, no, those are Hermaeus Mora things and stuff like that. Interesting that Spider-Kith are like the tie-in to Mafala. Mm-hmm.
They're like her people.
Yeah, they're like her. This is her people. But we've never seen them prior to Elder Scrolls Online. I guess we haven't had as many interactions with Mafala, but like...
Yeah, well, she's one of the Daedra that doesn't promise... correct me if I'm wrong, because you've played the older games more than I have.
Yeah, yeah.
But she doesn't promise... She doesn't feature prominently in any scenarios.
She just has her like Daedric artifact quest, which you'll see in a lot of the games and stuff like that. But right, not off the top of my head, I can't think of anything specifically related to like a lengthy quest line involving her, other than like one of the Daedric tie-in quests type
little
of thing.
Side quest. But in ESO, she features very prominently in some of the yearly expansions.
Yes, I was going to say huge tie-in to the Somerset chapter.
Right.
It's been a few years now, but really big tie-in, actually. Behind me, for anybody on the view, it's hard to do backwards. That one is that year there was a Mafala statue that came with Somerset. So, like, and Mafala's chilling there with her own, spider tendrils coming off, and there's little baby spiders all over the statue. They're actually rubbery. You can flick them and they're fun.
Okay.
But there's your statue lore. But I find it just kind of interesting that we've never really seen prior to Elder Scrolls Online her set of minions, essentially. It's almost weird because a lot of them are fleshed out, but I guess some of them really we still don't know a lot about. But it's why Elder Scrolls Online has actually kind of expanded the lore in a lot of regards, where this is her set of minions. So I'm almost curious, not that I don't like the art style to ESO, is not what I mean, but each of the games has a very different artistic take from game to game.
Oh, very much
so. Yeah. I would really be interested to see what these might look like in a single player experience, one like just a solo one.
Right. Like if we had a main quest line or a main DLC, like we did with certain other Daedric princes, like Hermias Mora or Sheogorath or whoever. But where you have a very prominent featured setting for a good dozen hours of questing in a realm very specific to them, with mainline ESO focus asset generation, and this isn't a dig on ZOS at all. They do an amazing job putting out new content every year, and they give us hours and hours and hours of content and quests and places to go see and all sorts of crazy cool stuff. But it all is very much designed in a way where it has to be similar enough to the content they previously created. It all has to fit within the ESO aesthetic, like what you're saying. And the limitations of that engine, which is now fairly long in the tooth. The textures are only a certain quality level, the number of polygons on a character, like all of that. And the fact that you're more likely going to play in third person, you're always a little bit more zoomed out from the world than playing something like Skyrim in first person. And
right.
So I think it would be amazing to see, like, in the next mainline Elder Scrolls game, to have a very like a 4K quality full team designing something around creatures like this, and to see what that ends up looking like, because you raise the bar again, and all of a sudden you end up with, like, can you imagine a spider focused area that you go in with webs that you can climb on, and like the creatures just crawling out of the walls at you, and like, ooh, all the fun, like really, really dedicated full release type of work for something like this could be super
right
creepy.
And kind of to that end, it's like there's usually like a framework that you go with for creatures throughout the series, but outside just Elder Scrolls Online, like just outside the whole multiplayer anything experience, a lot of these things shift pretty drastically sometimes from game to game. They're not always exactly the same depending upon the time period, depending upon what happens. Sometimes, like, sometimes there's in lore reasons why things look the way they do. Other times it's just like, these ones now just like you know, clan fears talked in Battlespire. Clan fears don't talk to you anymore.
Right. And now they look more, in Battlespire, they looked a little bit less dinosaur. Now they look more velociraptor. You know, there's kind of a shift over time.
Creatures now than like a weird, like hybrid thing.
Right.
It's just, I think these are a pretty fitting enemy. Like, I like their addition to the series. I think these things are pretty cool as generic enemies go, for like, okay, yeah, these are the underlings, these are the Dark Seducers, the Golden Saints, the whatevers. These are a decent one. They definitely match Mephala's vibe, I suppose, because she's spiders.
Right.
We all about that spider stuff.
here's a fun idea. Here's a crazy idea. I come up with some wacky ideas on occasion. We've talked about the idea of, like, what if you could play a Daedra race in something like ESO? What if they added in Dromora or Spiderkith or whatever, one of these intelligent other races? It's probably never going to happen. What if somebody was to, you know how people have been working on these, like, full game mods?
Yeah.
Of worlds. What if we had a reverse Elder Scrolls where you picked from one of the intelligent Daedric races and that was it? And the main plot of the game was in some realm of Oblivion where all the princes share a little piece of, like, almost like a continent, like Tamriel, but like miniaturized, right? So small enough for like its own DLC or whatever. But you have like Spiderkith or Dromora or Zivalai or whatever. You pick your race, you end up questing through that. You, like, similar to some of the ESO releases where we've gone and actually seen like Daedric society in Realms of Oblivion and like that kind of thing.
I was going to say, it's a big thing that really, honestly, only the novels kind of delve too much in with.
Yeah. But what if
dealing with their society is like, when they go into it, it's weird. Like, there's this like,
right. But what if
like deathmatch cooking thing? It's like, what the hell is going on?
And but what if all of that was presented as normal and dealing with mortals was like from their perspective only? And
I feel
killing
like
them, eating them, doing whatever is morally good in that society because that's what you're supposed to do.
I feel like that would be a really cool one of those like Elder Scrolls Legends spin-off things that they kind of aren't doing so much anymore. I mean, there are spin-offs, like Elder Scrolls Castles is currently in beta, and it's like, okay, well, it's Fallout Shelter, but with Elder Scrolls. Like,
right.
Okay, it's a little sim builder thing that looks fun. And they had Elder Scrolls Blades, and like they had Elder Scrolls Legends. Actually, Legends had a couple things where it started to get kind of weird. Like their Shivering Isles expansion was like, Shagora, funny, haha, actually here's a whole bunch of really bad side effects of bipolar disorder. It's like, oh my god,
this is super messed up.
I feel like that would be the perfect atmosphere for something like that. Or, you know, you've got things like Battlespire or Redguard or Shadow Key or any of these weird spin-offs that they don't really do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would have been the time, like, if they ever did that and they were just like, yeah, this is going to make minimal profit, like probably because it's not going to have mass appeal.
It's too weird. Well, that's why I'm thinking it would be really cool as like a big mod project.
That's what. So you know? Like a big mod project, but it's like, I don't know. I think I would like that because I really enjoyed the Deadlands because they treated a lot of weird stuff as normal.
Yeah,
because it was like, okay, well, yeah, but you're in the Deadlands, like you're the weird thing currently going on. That, so it's like if they got into it, I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and then like mortals trespassing on their land is something that's like you fight against them automatically because they're not supposed to be there. You can use their blood or their souls or whatever for whatever crafting or nefarious purposes you have with quest lines. You could even take the concept of Daedric princes are good. You're aligned with one of them, but the other ones are competition, but they're not seen so much as evil as they are just competition to the god that you worship kind of thing. Similar to the 8 or 9 divines being, well, I'm praying to Stendar now because Stendar is my patron saint or whatever. And the others are out there, but really Stendar's my dude, like that sort of thing.
Right.
Like they have that kind of perspective, which would mean that if the Aedra are messing with their their lords, then the Aedra are the bad guys. Like, you flip everything, right? Like, oh, the freaking Aedra are getting in our business again, even though they don't really do a whole lot. But like, sure, there's that feeling of like, or maybe they do. Well, here's another, what if the Aedra don't do a whole lot on Nern,
they're but just are actually outside the Mundus area, right, like
are actually more active in Realms of Oblivion and in subtle ways of keeping the Daedric princes at bay, and well, we just never see it or experience it.
It is interesting too, because it's another thing. I mean, I guess there are parallels where people are pretty cutthroat in real life too, but like, with how cutthroat the Daedra are against each other to further their positions, even when they're technically on the same side.
Right.
When the concept of death is kind of removed, because they're technically like immortal for the most part, they eventually, when killed, respawn through this like horrific process of time and stuff like that. It would also be kind of interesting because it was, they could do some weird stuff from like the perspective of, it was like, oh, well, yeah, you know, to get ahead, like theoretically the correct play here is to slaughter the person who is just helping you, because right, it's like right, more advantageous. And it would be weird because just thinking of like, it's a little less of a trend now, but for the longest time, there was the morality system in all video games. Oh, it's a good thing. Theoretically, the bad, like the self-righteous choice is the correct choice in Daedric culture.
Right, looking out for yourself, taking advantage of the people around you.
Right,
when you can.
So like playing the quote unquote bad side would actually be what you're supposed to do. That's why I was joking that it would be like, it probably would not have mass appeal because people are like, I want a bit like,
yeah,
people overwhelmingly play things and relate to things that have some type of thing they can relate to.
Yeah. I've seen stats on it. Like 70% of gameplay, people who play games will never play the evil route,
right,
if given the option. They 70% will just not do it.
Yep.
Now they might make choices that are a little bit more selfish or whatever while still trying to be the good guy,
but sure,
they
sure,
will
sure,
not go overall hard evil. Like they,
yeah, that, so it
like
would be weird to play sort of like a, not necessarily overtly evil, but like very, very alien, like race as a project type of thing. That I don't know. That screams to me like an Elder Scrolls Legends game that we, or an Elder Scrolls like Legends something we didn't ever get.
Yeah.
That makes me sad cool now.
Yeah, it does make me sad. But you know what? Microsoft is in charge now. So maybe,
yeah,
maybe they'll take the idea and run with it. Who knows? But hey, that would be fun. It's just an idea off the top of my head because, I mean, you've got all the pieces there. So you kind of fill in the right gaps and then go on a quest as a, like, what if you are the equivalent of the prisoner or whatever for the Daedra? Like,
for the Daedra,
what if they're like, what if one of them, what if whatever race you choose and whoever you choose as your master is like potentially going to be locked away or destroyed in some way, you know, we just found out that there was a Daedric prince that was locked away, right? That was the big announcement. What if something like that was potentially possible and you're the one who everything hinges on that actually saves them?
Or you're born as a Skitteris and you grow into into a hero.
It's like an evolution game where you start out as just like a little bug guy.
Yep.
And then as you level up, you become more and more humanoid.
Yep.
Oh man.
Pick your Daedric path.
Oh yeah. You gotta suck on mortals' faces in order to get
perfect
XP. And
that's great.
Stuff. Yeah.
You just, yeah, I was gonna say, you make dark deals with them and stuff like that. Make sure to never get summoned, because then you will lose your ability to like control yourself and all these things, because you'll have to do what they say unless you can trick it back.
Oh, dude, there's a side quest in there somewhere where some stupid mage summons you and is like,
summons you.
Why? Wait, you're not a scamp. And you'd be like, yeah, heck no, I'm not a scamp.
Yeah. Like, hey, can you give me that soul gem real quick? Perfect.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Murder, death. Yeah.
But I don't know. That sounds like a fun little side project. Because again, I really like some of the weirdness they do with the Daedra.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like grounded enough that it's like, oh, they're sort of demons, but they're all weird.
And some of them like, are more, some of them like, there are definitely characters, especially in ESO, that are not just bloodthirsty maniacs.
Oh, yeah.
They, you know, they're like, I don't like dealing with mortals, but you know what? I'm not going to kill you right now, so let's talk.
Currently going into the new year of Elder Scrolls Online, Torvisad isn't overtly trying to, Torvaside being the dude from the trailer, the Dremora from the trailer, but mm-hmm. in case anybody didn't play through Necrom.
Yeah.
Does not overtly, what it is, he is wildly apathetic to you existing. He is trying to do his own thing.
Right.
You're occasionally helping and sometimes in the way, but he's not going just going to try murder to get rid you. Of you.
Right.
It's just like, okay. Yeah. Well, and at one point, like, at this point, Zoss gave everybody the information. So to some degree, spoilers are kind of just a thing now, but, some of your friends get injured in dealing with him at one point, and he's just like, oh, it's this corruption thing from this other thing. If you just do this, it'll like help you guys out.
Right.
He's not even doing it. It's just like, yeah, I don't need to watch you suffer. This does nothing for me.
Right.
Like,
right. Or totally I was just apathetic. Working with those other two on this, like in the quest line. And now that they did their thing, I kind of don't need them anymore. I also don't really care if you live or die, but I mean, this is how you solve it.
So it's like, if you want to fix this, do this, but I'm out of here. And he like leaves. It's not like he's looking to. So it's like, it's an interesting dynamic of like a very different twist on how things are handled.
Right. Like, why go through the effort of murdering you if I don't have to? Because I just don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you are literally like not important.
Right. Yeah. No, it's such a cool and different perspective. I think a lot of people would probably bounce off of it, but who knows? It could be fun. But anyway, that was a fun little aside at the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed our look at bugs and spider things. A little sub Mafala episode.
I was going to say it's mini Mafala episode there.
Mini Mafala. Yeah. Yep. All right. Lotus, you have anything you want to share before we head out?
No, I was going to say we just, recorded Tales last week, got it out, and this weekend Super Bowl, so I don't know when we'll be able to actually record, so I think we'll probably end up having it like we were doing bi-weekly, and it's suddenly getting slightly faster than bi-weekly, so it's more like every 9 days instead of 2 weeks, so yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, more episodes of UESP's Tales of Tamriel are inbound. PTS is still going on, they're doing some changes in ESO, but nothing too crazy yet, it doesn't seem like. Very excited for new dungeons, though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've been playing more ESO, getting back into it. Getting through a lot of
seems
content.
Like I haven't finished. A lot of people are. The influx of players has been wild since the launch of that Gold Road reveal.
I think people are excited. People want things to be excited about. You know,
well, it's the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
It's a return to a lot of Oblivion area with Skingrad and stuff like that. Their take on spellcrafting, like there's a lot of stuff, like it seems like this expansion seems to have a little something for pretty much everybody.
Yeah, heck, even this month's daily rewards are particularly nice compared to most. The second week of rewards is like a bunch of crates with that you can get stuff out of. A
bunch of crates that people like.
The first week is a bunch of Seals of Endeavor?
The Seals of Endeavors, which you can use to buy the stuff out of crates without spending money on them.
Right. So a lot of people complain about like the cost of the crates if you want to buy them and the fact that they're still randomized so you don't even necessarily get what you wanted. But like the Seals of Endeavor, you can grind those in the game in order to get stuff out of the crates that you specifically want. But the fact that they're just giving away a bunch.
Yeah, they've become a login reward. It's
such
just
a smart idea.
So I think, to your point, I think a lot of that has been very appealing to people to kick off the year as well.
Yeah. I hope they keep that up because, I mean.
Yeah, well, people like that stuff. So great. Like,
yeah,
I get to say I'm in the minority where I don't care about that stuff. Most people do.
Most people like, do.
Most people do. Yeah. So give that to people. Yeah. That,
you like, see somebody riding around on a mount or having a really cool glowy weapon or something. You're like, ooh, how do you get that?
And
you realize you can't just earn it by doing a quest. Oh, it was in a crate or something. Well, there's still ways to get that you don't have to spend money. But, oh, by the way, just keep logging in and we're going to get you a lot closer to that. That's great.
Just put in some type of effort. So, you know.
Yeah, it's smart.
Definitely seems like this was pretty good so far.
Yep. All right. So that's what's going on. If you're into these shows and lore shows like this and you like games like Fallout or Starfield, I do shows about that stuff as well. And Lord of the Rings, the Lord of the Rings lore cast is doing awesome. All of those shows also have their own YouTube channels and they're all continuing to grow. And I've been trying to put more actual video content out for episodes that used to only be audio. So look for that stuff if you're interested. RobotsRadio.net for links for all of my shows and a bunch of other people on the network. And thanks for being here. We'll be back next week. And until then, try not to let spiders sneak up on you when they're the size of a small car.
Yeah. Wait, don't get ensconced. What was the weird word they
used? What was that
word?
I don't remember either. All right.
Well, whatever. Don't get tangled in webs.
See you next time. Bye, thanks everybody. For tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.